your Bibles at James 3. I don't believe I have that scripture overhead because I wanted you to page in your Bibles. If you see somebody next to you without a Bible, just share your Bible. Let's get those pages going. James chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 2. James 3, verse 2. It says, "For we all stumble in many things." Talking about believers now, right? "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man." That word perfect also means mature. Just take note. Mature. "Able also to bridle the whole body." So the use of your mouth is indicative of the control of many other areas in your life. Therefore, if you work with the Holy Spirit help on the control of the mouth, it will also spill over in many other areas of your life. If you can break certain habits in one area, even brain chemistry confirms that, you break habits in one area, it spills over into many other areas of our lives. Indeed, verse 3 says, "We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Look at that. Again, in the mouth. The analogy is in the mouth, turning the whole body, which means the mouth is significant for so many other things that happen, other areas of our life. Also, let's look at verse 4. It says, also, ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. The analogy, again, is a ship. We're talking about a ship. Now listen, your life is the ship, the picture of the ship. God has saved you. The ship is not, you know, taking on water. The ship has a powerful engine maybe, and it has great sails. The Bible says there's even wind blowing, so you are moving along. Just think about going out on a boat and on a ship, going somewhere to an island. You pack your ship. Man, you've got supplies in that ship, right? You've got your food. You've got fuel. You've got everything you need on that ship to just have a successful journey. But that one little thing, if that is out of line, you end up with your ship and your belongings and your baggage and everything, even your salvation, you end up in the wrong place. We've talked a lot lately about direction from the pulpits in this church, that we desperately need God's direction in our lives because we don't have another life to live and say, oops, I had the wrong direction, let me go back. And you cannot go back. So we need direction from God, and God is able. God is ready. God paid the full price for us to have access to knowing. Scripture says we can know the will of God. And then it says, verse 5, "Even so, the tongue is a little member that boasts great things. See how great the forest the little fire kindles." The tongue, did you know that size-wise, the tongue is the strongest muscle in the body? Did you know that? Tongue is very strong, and one of its secondary purposes is to speak, but still, that is fascinating for me to think. For size-wise, the tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. That also translates to, boy, whatever this tongue does has huge consequences for every area in our life. The Bible also says in Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." New Living Translation says, "The tongue can bring death or life." The tongue, guys, the tongue can bring in your life. It can bring death or it can bring life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So the Word of God is clear. It says, your tongue can produce life or it can produce death. So whatever your tongue sows, you are going to eat the fruit of your own words. How many of you, when you think of this, want to take back a couple of words you've just spoken the last 24 hours? Just think of every word you've spoken the last 24 hours. I have some I want to take back. But you know, once a word is spoken, how many of you know how hard it is, almost impossible to take it back? Once you've lashed out, once you've said something, it is gone from you, never to return to you again. And it goes forth to accomplish what you've sent it to do, even in that moment of weakness. Your tongue, what does it mean, life? Let's think about it a minute. In Genesis, God spoke. How did he create? How did the physical world exist from nothing? There was a spiritual and the physical world came into existence by the word that goes, that went out of God's mouth. The word of God is still powerful and spirit driven as we speak the word of God today. So God spoke and it created. Now God comes and he says, your words also have power. You also have words. You also have power in your words. And as you speak, you create. According to that scripture, your words create. So your words create your future. Your words frame your day. Your words will set up the stage of what is going to play out in your life. It is so easy to forget that. Why is that so hard? It is so hard for us. We're going to get to that. Let's go to another scripture in Mark 11. Why don't you page there? Matthew, Mark 11, a key scripture in life that we should all know and memorize and live by. Mark 11, verse 22. Let's look at what Jesus says. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, will have whatever he says. Verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have them. Look at this. This is how God intended for us to use our tongue. It says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them. Believe. So let's go back and just, a little background is Jesus was walking the day before with his disciples, went to the fig tree. You know the story. Some of you may know the story. Saw leaves, thought there was fruit, got there was no fruit, so Jesus cursed the tree. The next day they came around past the same tree and the disciples said, look. The tree's dead to the root. It's cursed. It died overnight. And Jesus says, he used that as this key lesson in our life. He said to them, you can speak to this mountain. Whatever the mountain is in your life, you can speak. You know, many times we speak, but we say, oh, mountain, we are so afraid of you. Oh, mountain, please go away, you know. In fear and trembling. Oh, mountain, you are so familiar. Oh, mountain, you've been in my family for so long. I'm just going to try to avoid you. Just try to ignore you. Oh, mountain, you are bigger than me. Oh, mountain, you're going to overtake me. Oh, mountain, you're going to mess up my life and my children. This is what comes naturally to us. But God says, you have to exert faith. You have to have faith in the power of God. And the Holy Spirit working in and through you, when you speak to this mountain, you believe what you say, you command it to remove. We have the word of God on this that Jesus says that mountain will be cast into the sea. You don't have to go look for 1,000 demons behind it. You don't have to go look for all other solutions. You have to speak to the mountain. When it pops up in your life, it pops up in your family, you speak to that mountain and you keep speaking to that mountain and you continue speaking into that mountain. In faith, continue. And when you don't have any more faith, we heard recently, you just keep going in patience. You just keep on keeping on. Hold on to your faith and speak because we have the word of God. Romans 4 says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not as though they exist. People say it's pretense, you know. How can you just fake it like that and speak things that does not exist? That is faith. Once you speak something that exists or that you see, it's no longer faith. Without living in faith, we can't please God. We cannot please God unless we believe in the invisible, unless we believe in that which we do not see. We cannot please God unless we live by what the outcome is that we believe for. We can't please God. How much much of our lives do we live in the natural? How much of our lives do we live in what is right in front of us? And the Bible says we cannot please God. In pleasing God, we have to look at what is in front of us, but we have to live like what is coming and what it is that we are believing for that is not in the natural manifested yet. Because it is by faith that we pull that which is in the invisible into the visible in our lives, the same way today that when God said, let there be light, then there was light. When God created, it's the same way. So that is an amazing message for us. How about death? We said we speak life through faith, believing to the mountain. But what about death? Why is it that we speak death so easily? It's because it comes so naturally. Why? Because of habits. The way you grew up, the people that are surrounding you, whatever is in your life, whatever you are used to. Many times that is what ties us to the here and the now and keeps us from God's perfect will for our lives. We have a tendency to speak death because our flesh is so connected to this earth, is so influenced, and out there in the world where you live, if you don't have Christ, if you don't have a root and an anchor in the rock Jesus Christ, you are just simply going to go with the flow. You're just simply going to go because it's all surrounding us on television, on friends, our neighbors, stories we hear, things we live every day. It just wants to take us along. And you know, it also, according to our personalities and giftings and experiences, maybe you've had bad experiences before and you just cannot get yourself over that. So you keep speaking in the here and the now. We're going to look at a couple tongues, whatever we have time for. We're going to look at the kind of tongue. We said it's the story or the tale of the tongues, right? We're going to look at a couple of different tongues, what it does to you, and what should you rather be saying than what that tongue is telling you what to say. The first one, we're going to start with your words can, and answer that. Okay, so your words can, number one, ruin or secure your destiny. Just listen to this. It can ruin or secure your destiny. How? You say, Pastor, how do I do this? By your words of self-depreciation. How do you respond to a compliment? Somebody walks up to you and say, oh, that is a beautiful necklace that you have on. How do you say? Oh, it's last year's. I got this for a dollar at the dollar store. Or somebody says to you, your hair looks beautiful today. Oh, I just kind of brushed it out. I didn't have time really to do anything to it today. Or that dress is pretty. Or the shoes, you say, oh, that's in the back of my closet. I didn't really have time to put it all together. And you know, why? It's just, how do you respond? You depreciate yourself all the time, like Moses. When God sent Moses, this is what Moses said. He said, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before you since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And then God said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who made the mute, the deaf, and the seeing, and the blind? Have not I the Lord? Therefore go. So instead of depreciating yourself, ladies, you don't have to come up with something else to say. You just have to say what the Word of God says you have to say. Okay? So watch your tongue, the self-depreciating tongue. What did we say? It will ruin your destiny. Because if you keep saying, I can't, no, I can't, I never have. How many times do you say that? I can't, blah, blah, blah. I never have, blah, blah, blah. I'm not comfortable with, blah, blah, blah. You just put a gate. You just build a wall right there. And the way to get through it is to say, yes, I can't see it right now, but through the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what I see. This is what is going to happen. This is how this thing is going to turn out. And you speak faith into this situation. Now, the next one, your words can make you look foolish. Who wants to look like a fool? Seriously, guys. Who wants to? Anybody in here likes looking like a fool? I think we've all been scarred in life looking like a fool at some point in our lives. It's not a good feeling. Your words can make you look foolish or wise. How does it do that? By speaking hastily. The hasty tongue. The fast tongue. Listen, are you known for it taking you a New York second come back with a comeback. I mean, you are so fast with a comeback. It is the gift of words and the verbal gift God has given you, but if it's not spirit controlled, it goes into a hasty tongue. The thing happened and you put the tongue. The thing happened and the Bible says you look like a fool because you don't even have all the information yet. How many of you have responded when somebody asked you to do something? Your kids have all done this. You tell them, I need you to do blah, 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 or you want to say something to your kids, and they respond before you ever done. We've all done that. We get nervous. I think I've done that with Pastor Debbie. She tells me something, and I just kind of respond, and then I later think, oh, is that what you meant? I didn't stop long enough to hear the full sentence. So we end up looking like a fool because you don't have all the information. So what is the antidote to that? Wait, 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 wait. Shut up. Wait. Basically, wait. Again, we are in danger to, according to the Bible says when you speak fast, you're in danger to offend, you're in danger to bring shame. And you may not be able to keep your word when you speak hastily and say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Something needs to be done or something. Sure, I'll do that. And then you have to later on say, oh, what was I thinking? So just wait. Just wait. Wait it out and then speak. The Bible also says it gets you in trouble. What is the antidote? Rather wait. Be mature. Control your responses. And listen, you save yourself and others a lot of pain. Listen, we are talking just about the littlest one of the small muscles in the body. We're talking about the little rudder on a huge ship can bring us to a destiny that we did not anticipate. The next one is, your words can make God detest you or delight in you. Now, I don't know about you, the God that spoke and flung the stars in the sky, holding the moon back, created every cell and every system down to the most micro levels in my body. The God who can hold the sun back, hold the water back. The God who saved all of us from hell. We as believers can be detestable to God. Now, we do not want that. We can be, the Bible says, may God detest you or delight in you by lying. When we lie, the Bible says it is detestable to God. So speaking the truth, of course. Okay, so here's the deal. How far are you comfortable in bending the truth? Just a little bit? How far? How far are you bending the truth with the numbers on the tax, income tax paperwork when you file? When you tell somebody you're going to do something, those of you working, you have an appointment with a doctor that takes you 1 hour. You stay away half a day. Fab girls? How comfortable are you with bending the truth? You say one thing, you do another thing. Sometimes it is, we get in a rut in the world. Listen. In the world, bending the truth is quite okay. Just bending it a little bit, you know, bending it here and bending it there. But a lying tongue, when you speak untruths, the Bible says it's one of the things that is detestable to God. And I think that is pretty serious. He wants us to speak the truth. Why do I lie? You want to get your way, right? You want people to like you. So we go with half-truths. You are so quiet. You think a half-truth, at least you've got part of the truth, right? But you know very well in your heart that's not the whole truth. And in any matter, just half the truth is really a lie. What does that do to you? Listen, lies trap us. Because now when you lie, when you keep lying, you have to keep record of what it is you're lying about so you don't contradict yourself. So you end up so stressful. You don't want to speak. You don't want to say. You live in stress the whole time because you don't know. You can't remember what you lied about last week. So you can get caught any moment, right? So it causes a stress-filled life. Listen, rather speak the truth and be free. The next one. We can, with your words, mark you with honor or ignorance. Your words can mark you with honor or ignorance. How do you want to be marked in life? As a woman of honor or as a woman that is just ignorant? Here is how we do that. When we are argumentative, when your tongue likes to argue. Listen, instead of arguing, according to the Word of God, rather bring wisdom in this situation. What does it look like when we argue? Let's see. How important is it to you to be right? How important is it to you to be smart? How important is it to you that other people think you're smart? How important is that to you? Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 3, avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. So again, do you want to look like a fool or do you want to be marked with our honor? Why do we argue? We establish superiority like that way. We like to think. Many times the thinkers, the ones with the busy minds, many of us women are like that. Our minds are so busy and you love knowledge, you love information. And with that information and knowledge that you love, you like to think things through so it comes out in arguments. You like to be right. You like to convince people. It's a habit. You love logic. You say, but I love what is right and what is wrong. Well, you go ahead and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil all your life. Or are you going to eat of the true tree of life? If you go for it's black and white. This is right and this is wrong. So I'm going to be the voice of justice. I will make everybody understand the right way. That is not always eating the tree of life. That is eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Deborah Smith Begay, do you remember her? She made a statement. She says, disagree without being disagreeable. Listen, you can disagree with somebody. They don't think the way you do, but don't become disagreeable. Because when you do, you look like a fool or you are marked with ignorance instead of honor. How do we mark with honor and not be argumentative? Rather than arguing the situation, bring wisdom in. You don't have to argue. You don't have to convince, but you can be the light in a situation and just with no ulterior motives, just speak wisdom into the situation and not have to argue. Listen, there is seldom only one way to look at anything. You need to write this down. Let me say it again. There is seldom only one way to look at anything. Seldom only one way to look at anything. But many of us have decided how to look at it, how it needs to be looked at, how it is, and nothing else goes. See, then when there are other options, when that is not the whole truth, that is when you look like a fool. Do you see that? When you are blindsided by things. Do not elevate information above wisdom. Listen, information, to have all the facts, is one thing. But with God and with destiny, it's not always about the facts. It's very seldom about the facts. It's good to have all the facts, but you cannot live your life black and white just on the facts. It is not always about the facts. It is never going to happen that you gather all the facts in any particular situation and say, I have it figured out. Doesn't that just rub you the wrong way? It just is a little irritating to me. You know that sometimes people spend their whole life studying a topic. Doesn't matter what it is. In a quest and a zeal to gather all the information, to get it all figured out. But all of us have to come at some point of our life and say, you know what? We are just not smart enough, connected to God enough, live long enough to have it all figured out. So why argue about things that is bringing no benefit? Why argue today? Why be nasty today about something without eternal consequences? Why be nasty and argue about something today that's not even going to matter tomorrow? Just for the sake of arguing? Because we've got the mouth, we've got the brain, we've got the spaghetti going, and we know we're right, we felt it, we live it, we've intuition, and we are just right anyway, so dumb, that's the way it is. Somebody else just open their mouth and boom, I mean, you could shut it just like that. Somebody else says something, boom, you just shut their mouth like that with a comment that you make. That is not how we build the kingdom of God. Okay, so the next one, with your words, you can work for Satan or build the kingdom of God. How do you do that? How do your kids get their way with you? If your kids want something in the house, how do they get their way? They go to mom on the one end and dad on the other side. Don't ask them when they're together. You go to the one. If the one says no, then you go to the other quickly before they have time to talk to each other. Here it is, divide and conquer. And this is how Satan also works. How did the kids know that? Seriously? How do they know that? Because it works. If they can get mom and dad to disagree, man, they've already won, no matter what you say. As long as you don't say the same thing, you and your husband the same thing, the kids have now won. They've won. In church, listen, when we don't speak with one mouth in church, who wins? Nobody but Satan. That is why disunity and discord is demonic and it's evil. It's from the pit of hell. It divides us. It conquers us. It renders us ineffective and lame and half naked and not being able to do anything. It's the same in the kingdom of God. So divisive tongue. The tongue that plays the one against the other, dividing. Who conquers? Satan conquers. What should we do? We should be bridge builders. Wherever we go in our families, in the church, we see there's a faction here. We see there's a faction. There's an idea here and an idea here. Why don't we just come in and be the bridge? Why don't we be the one that just connects and brings unity? A house divided in itself cannot stand. So division is a huge tool. And listen to this. One of the things in Proverbs 6 that the Bible says God hates is the one who sows discord amongst the brethren. Rather, listen, that is when you tell, how do you do that? When you tell her something about her that really doesn't matter. You tell one person something about another person that have no consequences. Now, I don't say you shut up when you see, there are times, maybe that's another message. There are times that you speak, but there's a way that you speak. But just for the sake of blah, 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 just saying stuff, when we play one against the other, we bring division and game is over. Satan has won. So let us be bridge builders also in our homes. Our words help us get our own way versus God's way. We can manipulate. The manipulative tongue, boy, are we good at that. When a situation arises, you push everybody aside and say, let me take care of this. I can do it. I'm good at this. That usually, okay, you know. You have to be smart. You have to be wise. You have to influence. What is manipulation then? Manipulation is influence towards your own selfish desires or influence towards favor. If you want to manipulate to get your own way and you get the favor, why don't we rather do God's way and God give us the favor? Our mouths can manipulate, okay? There's a story of Delilah. Remember what Delilah told Samson? She said this, how can you say you love me when you don't confide in me? I am feeling so bad. I'm such a victim. Can you please tell me? Please get a grip, girl. But it worked. It worked for her. She said, you've made fun of me 3 times now. I'm such a victim. And you still haven't told me what makes you strong. And what happened? She caught him. And you know the consequences of that. Listen, let us influence, use the influence to the positive of the other person. When the influence is to the positive of the favor of me, it is manipulation. Okay, then, poison or preserves your soul. This is the last one, and this is the one we all need to have a good look at. How do you poison or preserve your own soul? How many of you will actually drink poison out of your own free will? Taking, swallowing something down in your stomach that can go in your stomach and poison your stomach and just have all kinds of consequences. Who in their right mind would do that? Yet, we do that with our soul. Not with our body. We're very careful. We go green. We eat vegetables. We juice. We make shakes. We get the spinach in some way or the other, eh? Got to get the green in the body. Take care of your body. Sleep well and all that. But yet, we poison our own soul. We cannot blame anybody else for it. How many of you can eat one potato chip or one popped corn out of a bag? Can you put your hands up? You don't like chips then. You have a bag of chips or a bag of popcorn, and you could just eat one. Well, it's not so easy. And it is the same with this tongue. It is the tongue of gossip. The gossiping tongue. The gossiping tongue is a tongue that you rather not get into, because just a little bit of it goes to another chip and another chip and another chip. And before you know it, the bag is gone. You say, when did I eat all these chips? The situation blows up and you say, whatever happened? Okay, the words of gossip in Proverbs 18. The words of a gossip is like choice morsels. Choice morsels, those yummy, yummy goodies you like to eat. It tastes so good. And it's just a little morsel. It's just a little piece. You know, we look at it, and one chip has maybe how many calories? 10? Does anybody know? Has anybody counted it? One chip? Maybe 10 calories, would you say? Okay, girls, dieters, where are you? 10 calories is not going to kill you. But that one chip doesn't stay with one chip. It's just so tasty. Tasty, and when it's gone, it's like, I want more, I want more, I want more. And here the Bible says gossip is like that. They go down to a man's inmost parts. What do we do then? Listen, catch yourself before you do it. Catch yourself before you get started, and rather cover. The Proverbs 20 says, a gossip tells secrets, so don't hang around with people who talk too much. And Romans 1 says, a gossiper amongst all the other sins, where it says you're deserving of death. Proverbs 11 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So what is the answer? When something goes wrong, let's cover one another. Let's cover. Love covers. Love covers. You are going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted because you're alive. You're going to be tempted because you're a healthy woman living on planet today. You're going to be tempted just because you are here, walking around and interacting with other people. We all have done it. We all have been tempted. We've all have found the bad consequences for it. And some of us still haven't learned. Listen, the gossip needs to just stop. Stop. I'm asking, who's going to be the one to stop it? Who is going to stop it? You don't want to look bad in front of other people. So you don't want to be the one to. Listen, if you don't have the guts to say something, get up and walk away. At least get up and walk away. Or you don't have to curse the person that's gossiping. Why don't you, when somebody says something negative, bad intentions about somebody else, why don't you come around and say something good about that person? Why don't you cover that person as if that person was in the room? That is what God expects of us. And we all fail at that. We need to be covering one another. When words are spoken, we need to cover. When somebody says something bad about your kids, what is it that comes out of you? What is it that comes out of you? The devil himself sometimes. Just suddenly, this beautiful, sweet person turns into, rah, you know, the claws come out when somebody touches your child. We need to be like that in the church about each other, covering one another so that people, how would you know? Listen, how would you know if you are getting caught up in gossip a lot is if you have a lot of people gossiping to you. Because if you don't receive gossip, people will stop coming to you. People will stop. If you don't take part in that gossip, you just won't be in the loop about anything. You just won't know anything. But sometimes it's better not to know. Sometimes it's better just to be totally oblivious than knowing the bad little dirty things about someone else. Rather, let's be ignorant then. Ignorant of evil, the Bible says. Now we're going to end with this. What is the answer when everything is said and done? Ladies, here it is. Three things. Get with God. Get with other people. And get a hold of yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, today I'm going to get it. Yeah. First of all, get with God. There is no way we can control our destiny and control our tongue. Our tongue is just too hard to control. But the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's really a heart issue. There's bitterness and unforgiveness and nastiness. Listen, when there's junk coming out of your mouth, you need to run to God. You need to spend time with God. You need to get with God. You need to get in the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, the things of this world grow strangely dim. You remember that old song? In the light of His glory and grace, the things of earth grow strangely dim. It's amazing how huge a situation can be to you, how badly you can be hurt, how horrible your day can be. And when you run to the presence of God and you get in the presence of God and you get closer to God, you can look back and say, why was I so bothered by that? But it is our choice. Or you can just walk in that, and you are the ship that takes sail and ends up on an island that you don't even know the name of it. Not the destination you wanted to have, because that rudder has been taken. You've been smooth sailing, engines going and buzzing, having a great time, praising the Lord even, coming to church, doing good works, and you arrive at a destination and say, whoop, how did I get here? Maybe it was just that rudder. The going was strong, but the rudder was taking you in the wrong direction. Really, basically, grow up. We need to grow up. We need to mature. And that can only happen when we get in the presence of God, where our hearts is stirred with faith and we remember how big God is. We experience the majesty of God and our faith is built up and we can trust Him and we can move on these things that no longer hold us back. Get with people. If you are not in committed and accountable, real, personal relationships with other people, it's much harder for you. It's crucial. It's God's will that we in the body of Christ have people in our lives. It's very easy for us to shelter ourselves and to say, you know, I don't do good with relationships. How many of you have been hurt in relationships? Let me see. How many of you have not ever been hurt in relationships? Because you need to write a book, go on Dr. Phil, and all of that. Relationships hurt, but it's in the plan of God. It is not something we can run away from. Now, some, we've told you this before, some you have to run. When it impairs your destiny, when it impairs your God vision, you need to run. But you need to get with people, where people can get to know you and encourage you and sometimes rebuke you. The rebuke of a friend is sweet. Because it turns that rudder in the right way. And then the last one is get a hold of yourself. Listen, you are not better than anybody else that have fallen. You are living in a flesh body with tendencies that are attached to earth. Okay? So your tendency and your attachment to earth, even while your spirit is reborn, your spirit connects with the Spirit of God to testify we're His children. We are still in our senses. We smell, we taste, we feel, we see, we hear things of the earth, and we know who the ruler of the earth is. And our emotions and our will and our hearts can go terribly wrong. So just get a hold of yourself. Know that God loves you. And know that you have to fight those situations. You have to avoid some things. You have to become smart with your own life. You have to rule your life the way God wants you to. Make sure you get the time with God. Get a hold of your weaknesses. How many of you have lived long enough that you know some of your weaknesses? Now, if you know some of your weaknesses, we need to avoid it. If you know, if you're single, and you know you have a weakness when it's Saturday night after 10 o'clock sitting in a bar, you've had a couple drinks, and Mr. You know who comes up, you know you have a weakness, just don't go to the bar. I don't know how this relates, but I read this week, what is the, this is manipulation. What is the number one pickup line? There was a vote online. And this is the number one pickup line for men to get a woman, you know, in whatever circumstance. Walking over to the woman and say to you, how does it feel to be the most beautiful woman in the room? Now that is using your words to get your way. It's using your words for favor. How many of you would like for your husband, how many of you have husbands that say that to you? How many of you would like your husband to say that? Maybe you could just teach him that. How about that? Just a little marriage on the side here. It is perfectly okay to go to your husband and say, you know what, honey, at some point, someday, when you think I've forgotten about telling you this, this would be a great way for you to get me just going a little bit, you know, to just get my attention. Why don't you come over to me and whisper in my ear, how does it feel to be the most attractive woman in the room? Hey, if it works, it can only bring good. But yeah. That was voted. I don't know who voted, but anyway, that was a fun piece of information. I have a song that we just have a minute to finish up, and we have plenty of time for our groups and our breakout. I found a song just as I was preparing, actually, somehow I came across this song, and I thought, let's just look at it to confirm what we've been talking about today. A really fun song by Toby Mac. Do you guys have it up there? You can roll the video.